Amber Cantorna was raised in a devout Christian family in Colorado Springs, the daughter of an executive at Focus on the Family. In 2012, at the age of 27, she came to terms with a fact she'd known for years but was afraid to admit. She's gay. Her new memoir, Refocusing My Family, tells her story of coming out, leaving the evangelical community she'd been raised in, and redefining her Christian faith. She spoke with 91.5 KRCC's Jake Brownell.
In the prologue of your book, you describe the feeling before you came out to your family as, you say, quote, "Half of me belonged in one world and the other half of me in the other. Both worlds coexisted in my heart, yet refused to cohabitate in real life." What are those two worlds that you're referring to in that line?
Well, the one world is the world of evangelical Christianity, which is what I grew up in. And then the other world would be the LGBT community. And in my upbringing, those were two polar opposites that could never coexist. They didn't blend whatsoever. They were ultimately kind of pitted against each other in many ways. And so it just felt like a complete disjoint and kind of like you're split in half with a war raging inside of you.
And talk a little bit about your upbringing and specifically about kind of what you had been taught about sexuality growing up.
Sure. My dad started working at Focus on the Family when I was 3 years old, and he still works there to this day. So he's been there for 30 years. And that was really the world that I knew. I grew up very much encased kind of in this Christian bubble, and I was also homeschooled. So I really had no exposure to the quote-unquote outside world. What we knew about sexuality was strictly that marriage was between one man and one woman, and that was not to be debated. That was a very black and white issue. And the LGBT community was seen as destroying the family unit.
So those were the views of the community that you were raised in. Did you share those feelings growing up?
I did, of course, because I knew nothing else.
And so at what point in your life did those cracks start to emerge, that sense of living in two worlds and a sense that you might maybe disagree with some of the things that you'd been taught to believe?
As far as sexuality goes, it really wasn't until I was in my early 20s. I think before that, I tended to question more of just the level of authenticity within Christianity. But it wasn't until my early 20s when I fell in love with my female roommate that I then began to really question my sexuality as a whole and what I had been raised to believe in regards to that.
So you came out to your family in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Did you feel like you had to square your sexuality with your faith before you could approach your family about it and understand kind of how those two things fit together for yourself?
Absolutely. For me, I mean, really, it became for me a matter of life and death because I had spiraled into such a deep, dark place of self-hatred and self-loathing. You know, when there's this kind of community or group of people that you're taught to hate, even if they don't use those words, it's that theology is underlying. And so when you're taught to kind of hate that group of people and then that group of people becomes you, then you start to hate yourself. And so for me, it was important to be able to reconcile my faith with my sexuality, both theologically for my mind to be able to wrap around it, and then also just for my heart to be able to understand that it was going to be possible for me to live a happy, fulfilling life in the future.
Talk about what happened when you did come out to your family.
I sat them down one day and told them about the journey that I had been on, and I told them a lot of what I had gone through in regards to my faith because I knew that was going to be their biggest fear and concern. But I don't think they heard any of that. They just were very upset and very, I think, concerned and probably scared in many ways. And so I finally put everything out there and told them that I was gay, and it was absolutely the most vulnerable I've ever felt in my life, as I just kind of hung in the air waiting for the response. And my dad just looked at me and he said, "I have nothing to say to you right now." And he got up and walked out.
What do you think it was for your family that made them so upset?
In their minds, to embrace being part of the LGBT community is to turn your back on God and is also the equivalent of putting your soul at jeopardy of going to hell. And they said, "I feel like you've died. How selfish of you to do this to the family and not think about how this would impact us or your dad's position at Focus." And they were just, I think, very concerned and very angry.
Sometimes you hear this expression, love the sinner, hate the sin, or mm-hmm. something along those mm-hmm. lines. This idea that we still love you, but we just detest this choice that you're making mm-hmm. or this mm-hmm. sin that you're committing. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about the effect of that type of mentality? Like, how does that register as someone who doesn't feel like you're making a choice? This is a part of who you are.
Right, right. This kind of whole idea of love the sin or hate the sin, or kind of tough love approach, I heard so many times, we love you, but... And there was always this caveat of, but we don't agree with your choices, but you're embarrassing us. And when you're a part of the LGBT community, that love the sinner, hate the sin is so damaging and so dehumanizing in so many ways, because it's not a choice. It's like saying we welcome you, but we're not affirming who you are.
You are married now.
I am.
And you met your wife, Clara, in 2013?
2013, uh-huh.
Talk about that experience in the aftermath of losing this connection with your biological family, what it meant to forge this new life and find a loving partner and kind of move into that space that you wanted to be in.
It was an interesting place that I lived in for a while, because in the midst of us meeting and dating, I was still very much in a place of turmoil with my own family and trying to work this out. And I think in a lot of ways, they kind of still hoped I would change. And then as we dated and as we got engaged, and then of course, as we got married, their hope for that change just disintegrated. And so it was shortly after I came out to them that they just cut ties completely. And we haven't spoken since. And so that's been, you know, over 3 years now. But in the midst of all that grief and loss, at the same time, I had never felt more happy or more at peace or more comfortable in my own skin or more free.
So this book has been out for a few months now, and obviously you've kind of gone public with your story, although you don't identify your family members by name in the book. Have you heard about their reactions to the book?
I have not had any contact with my family at all. There's been no response from any of them, to my knowledge, whether they've read it or not. I don't know.
And did you have your family in mind when you were writing this book, in terms of like imagining how they might react to what you were writing?
Yes and no. In some ways, I tried to be very sensitive to protecting their privacy. The point of the book is not to throw them under the bus or make them look like bad parents or nail focus to the wall. The point is to elevate some bad theology that's causing a lot of harm to a specific people group. And as a result, taking many lives, because the suicide rates are so high among people from conservative faith communities because of this bad and harmful theology. And so the point is to elevate that and shine a light on that, not necessarily to say that my parents were bad parents, or, you know, because there were certainly a lot of things that they did very well. So I was specific in that way, but at the same time, I tried to not think about them when it came to just how authentic I felt like I needed to be to tell this story. The most common response I've gotten is, one, that people can't put the book down, which is, of course, a huge compliment, but two, that they're finding themselves within the story, and they say, I feel like I'm reading my own life. And those were really the people I was writing the book for.
Amber Cantona, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor.
That was 91.5 KRCC's Jake Brownell speaking with Amber Cantorna, author of the book Refocusing My Family, Coming Out, Being Cast Out, and Discovering the True Love of God. Cantorna lives in Denver, where she runs the nonprofit Beyond, which helps LGBTQ people through their coming out process.